Call to order this special assembly meeting of the City of Laurel, Ring of Alaska, on Thursday, June 8, 2017, at 6:00 p.m. Roll call, please.
Assemblymember Gilbert?
Here.
Prasaka?
Here.
Rooney?
Here.
Decker? Powell? Mitchell? And Mayor Jack?
Here. Conflict of interest, does any assembly member have a conflict? Persons to be heard. This is an opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on an item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you will not have an opportunity to speak on it unless the assembly has specific questions regarding the item. First person to speak is Mark Armstrong on the union contract. Would you come forward, state your name and residence, please?
Mark Armstrong, 611 Evergreen. I was hired by the city in 1994 as a garbage man. In 2001, I took a pay cut to become an apprentice lineman. I remained at the same wage for 5 years. In 2006, I turned out as a lineman and was offered $1 an hour more than I received as a garbage man. In that same year, AT&amp;T came to me and offered me $5 an hour more than I was currently making to be a lineman for them, and I took them up on it. I worked for AT&amp;T 2 years, and during those 2 years, the city was unable to hire somebody to replace the position that I had vacated. And when the remaining lineman took a 3-month break so that he wouldn't lose his vacation that had accrued over those 2 years, they had to hire somebody out of Juneau to come and fill that spot. After they, I don't know, it was, I think it was around like $1,200 a day plus expenses that they had to pay that lineman to come and fill that position, they decided to raise the wage $10 an hour and try to fill those positions. At that time, I reapplied for my old position. There were 7 people who applied for it. I was 4th in the list. The gentlemen who were before me all turned it down because of wages. I got my old job back. In the past 9 years that I've worked, after coming back from AT&amp;T, we've only received 1.2% COLA in those 9 years. There's discussion about whether a step increase is experience and COLA, and I would really challenge that. What that means is, as each year, as we take a step increase, I've heard from the administration that part of that is for experience and part of that is for cost of living. That sounds really good until you reach the top of the wage grade scale, and at that point, you stop receiving that cost of living. And I, you know, that's something that you guys are going to have to wrestle with, whether that's discriminatory or not. We're going to give everybody else a cost of living, quote unquote, in a step increase, but you've been here so long that we're going to stop it. I don't know any of the employees that consider that step increase a cost of living. Right presently, I could go to any community in Southeast and make $10 an hour more than I'm making right now. The problem with that is I don't live in those communities. I live here. And I just say all this just to say wages are an issue. They're an issue in Wrangell. I really applaud the employees that you have, because the employees that you have are here because they love this community, not because they're making a buck in this community. I think that's also reflected in some of the situations that we are currently seeing now. At the police department, Wages are an issue. It's hard. You're going to see it again in the line department as several of us are getting ready to retire. I'll be done here in 5 years or so. And you're going to be facing this more and more and more. Even though wages are an issue and we feel like wages are an issue, in the contract that we put together, we're not asking for a wage increase. We understand that the city is facing some hard economic times. And I'm a shop steward for the line department. Ron started the process before he left. He was here for like 2 months of it, and then he left, and then I stepped in. Since the beginning of this process, we have not asked for a raise. Since the beginning of the process, the point has been everybody needs skin in the game. That there were some of us who weren't paying insurance, and everyone and the administration wanted everybody to help pay the premium. Since the beginning of the process, this has taken so long, many things have changed, especially this week. My position is simply this. I've been told for 20 years the reason why I get the wages that I get is because of the benefit package that I get. My benefits are so good that they're worth $10 an hour or whatever the difference is. I agree with the assembly in that it's a really good idea to put all your employees on the same plan on a level field. We're with you in that. But what that's asking of me is for me to contribute $392 a month back to the city towards my premium. I'm willing to do that. But what I'm asking in return is $392 in wages to compensate for that. Okay? Basically, what I'm looking for as an employee is not to put additional burden on the city, but at $10 below everybody else in Southeast, and even in the study, when they did a study about a comparative community, and they picked Cordova, but that still held out. Lyman and Cordova get paid $10 an hour more than Lyman and Rand. What we're asking for is not to lose ground as employees in our wages. If we give you $392, give us $392 back in wages. We have been fighting 3 years, and the truth is, what are we asking for? Nothing. We aren't asking for anything. And you need to understand that. And again, we've come to the administration, and they say, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's not good enough from the employees. We want more from you. And I don't think that's reasonable. I don't think that's reasonable. It's a good idea. I think it's a win situation for everybody to be on the same insurance plan. Everybody pays 15%. In Jeff's own words, we want Wrangell to be like everybody else. We're okay with that. We'll pay 15%. But the thing that we hear is we want you to pay 15%. But not only are you $10 an hour below everybody else, I want another $400 a month. And I understand things are tough for the city, but it's not any different at my house. And so what we're asking, we aren't asking for anything. We fought 3 years, and what do we get out of it? Nothing. We gave you $392, you give us back $392. We don't benefit from that. But I think the city will benefit greatly from all of us being on one insurance plan instead of having tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four, and then whatever else the non-union employees are on and all that kind of stuff. That's a great benefit for the city. And we see that, and we agree with that. You know, you guys, I don't see the city as the enemy, and I don't want you to see us as the enemy. The issue that we really wrestle with is insurance. Insurance is killing everybody. And we just need to come up with a better answer. I don't know what that answer is. I don't know what that answer is. But I think that's all. I really have to say. Thank you.
Anyone have questions for?
I was just a bit confused when you said you want everybody to be on the same tier. Now, are you not part of PERS?
As far as insurance goes, PERS is retirement.
Oh, okay, so you're talking health insurance.
I'm talking health insurance. Okay. So there will still be tiers as far as retirement goes, but as far as what everybody pays, because I'm tier two right now, okay, I don't pay any part of my health premium.
Right. All sorry, right. I thought you had drifted over to other benefits well. Okay.
Are you saying you're tier two because of PERS retirement, or is it strictly because PERS has tier one, tier two, tier three? But right. is it health insurance that you're at tier two?
Right, correct.
Okay, it has nothing to do with PERS.
In health insurance as well as PERS.
And what establishes you at tiers two? Your hire date.
Correct.
Okay.
So when I was hired, the city said, we'll pay all your premiums.
For your family.
All your premiums. Okay. So they pay all the premiums for my family, my dependents, and myself. Okay? And that's been an issue. I believe there's 9 of us that are tier two out of 24. And so when we first started this process, the whole hang-up was on the 9 of us who don't pay. And therefore, that was the comment about, well, everybody's got to have skin in the game.
So that 15% you're talking about, is that where the $392 per month comes in?
Correct.
And the 15% was established when? Do you remember?
And looking around Southeast, Well, actually, 15% is what was proposed by the administration, and that we looked at and said, yes, we're willing to do that. I think that was proposed by the administration, and I might not have these facts straight, but you passed an ordinance that's to the effect that you wanted everybody on this, all the city employees were going to pay 15% of their premium. And so it was our understanding from the administration that their hands were tied because that ordinance was passed, that they were unable to do anything but the will of the assembly.
Okay.
Any further questions?
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Well, the next person on the list is kind of hard to read their writing, but I think it might be Jim Liebel.
No.
Nope. Yes. Who was it? Who was the second?
Yeah, that's Liebel. You back off?
Okay, we're going to the next person, Ann Long Cook. You'll come forward, state your name and residence, please.
Hi, Lauren Cook, 5.4 miles, Novia Highway. I just like to say, just as in my position, I'm on a lower grade pay scale. You know, I don't make very much a month. And for something like, say, $359 out of my pay wage is quite a bit of my paycheck. You know, me and my family kind of budget off, and I'm just a single family income. And, you know, for me to have an expenditure of $350 out of my paycheck is, for most people's cases, a house payment. You know, it's really, really detrimental to my income. If I didn't live where I currently live right now, there's no way I'd even be able to work at the position I'm at right now. And so one of the greatest concerns I have is the healthcare. If I pay a percentage of it, it's becoming hard for me to afford healthcare for me and my family, and which will probably end up happening for me is I'll probably have to opt out of it. There's no way that I can afford it. And so, I mean, to me, it'd be pretty detrimental to lose my health care. I mean, living in an island like this, you know, the one reason why I started working for the city was for those benefits, and that was kind of what I understood was your wage is based on your benefits. So our benefits package is so great that your wage is a little bit lower than the rest of anywhere else around Southeast Alaska. This is basically the way I understood it when I first started working here. So to me, if you're going to have us pay for the insurance, so basically we're paying for our wage, so now we're taking it in the shorts on our end of our paycheck to cover that cost of what was considered our wage. And to me, that's, in another sense, I mean, it's no different than, like, okay, Bob's. So Bob's, the price of milk goes up a dollar. So Bob says, well, that's not fair to all the other residents in Wrangell. We're going to have to call in an employee meeting, and I want you guys all to take $2 an hour pay cut to pay for this price of milk, because I don't think the residents of Wrangell should have to pay that much for it. It's no different than that. So in my eyes, why don't we look at something like raising taxes? Of course, nobody wants to raise taxes to pay for this ongoing process of the health insurance. But at the same time, the city employees have that health insurance benefit package as part of their wage, as I understood. And that's pretty much all I have to say for the week.
Any questions?
Well, I can sure see how if you're a lower, by percent of your overall wage, it's going to have a more dramatic impact on your family than a higher wage earner. So I appreciate that, Lauren. That's an excellent point.
Are you tier three then, or
I'm tier four?
Four? Tier four, and that's $350.
Yes.
Okay.
Same percentage for any tiers. So right now, all of the employees' insurance is paid for by the city. So with a tier four employee, I pay for my kids and my spouse. So in addition to that, with this new contract that the city's proposal is for the employees themselves to start paying for a percentage of their benefits.
You currently already pay for a percentage of your benefits, though, correct?
For my wife and my kids.
But not for yourself?
No.
So do you mind me asking then, if you are currently paying something, what is the increase between the family plan and what will your portion of your insurance premium, what's that difference? Okay, so I guess would be an interesting thing to know, because if it's an additional $100 a month for your family to have insurance, or for you to have the insurance.
So you know, for me to insure,
because I calculated out at over $4,000 is what you'll be putting out per year.
For me to insure my wife and my kids right now is $516 a month. For my wife and my kids to be under city insurance, I pay $516 a month.
And then you're going to pay an additional $300. So out of your pocket is $516 for your family plan,
for just my wife and kids.
Wife and kids. And then, okay.
You want to know how much I take home every month?
Well, and then on.
No, I'm just trying to. Some of this, to be honest with you, some of this is new news to us. We're getting some of this information.
We haven't been involved in this at all.
No, we have not been allowed to be involved, and directly avoided trying to engage, as you know, trying to engage employees, because I wanted to hear during the meeting.
So I wanted to ask the $516 for your wife and children, and then on top of that, you pay $350?
Not at the moment. The new contract that the city's last best offer would issue me to pay $350.
Okay, and
You had an opportunity to speak.
Okay, so that would mean you would be paying $860 a month for your insurance.
I don't think that is correct. I'm not sure exactly all the logistical parts of it, but as far as right now, I know what I do pay, and that's $516 for my wife and my kids to be on the insurance until covered.
Okay. So
I don't know what percentage, each one's broken down in a certain percentage. So my wife, I pay a percentage for that income, and then for my kids, I pay a certain percentage. That's why I'm trying to have more kids, cover the offset. Just kidding. Sorry.
wrangle somehow.
Thanks, Lauren.
Any further questions? Thank you. That concludes persons to be heard. Next item is item of business. Before we get into that, the borough attorney will make a statement.
Good evening, Mayor Jack, and members of the assembly, and all of you that come tonight. I think probably the first question that all of you have is, why are you here? Which is a pretty good question, because what's happening tonight has never happened before, at least to our knowledge, in the state of Alaska. You're here due to a lawsuit from last fall, that most of you remember. The borough and the union were engaged in a lawsuit, of which the borough had claims against the union had claims against the borough. That lawsuit was settled in December. And there was four parts to that settlement. One is that the borough dismissed all of its claims against the union with prejudice. The union dismissed all of its claims against the borough with prejudice. The union...
Can I interrupt you for a minute?
Sure.
Would you explain...
What prejudice is, right.
The difference.
I appreciate that, Mayor. And what prejudice means that the borough could not bring up any of these claims against the union ever again, and that the union could never bring up these claims against the borough ever again.
Okay. Thank you.
There was also at that time an outstanding unfair labor practice claim against the borough, which was agreed to be dismissed with prejudice. It could not be brought up ever again. The other part of the settlement agreement, the last part is really two parts. One is that the borough and the union would go back to the bargaining table and bargain in good faith to hopefully reach a collective bargaining agreement. And the last part comes to why we're here. If the borough and the union go back to the bargaining table, bargain in good faith, exchange offers, and come to a point of what's called impasse, meaning that the union has rejected the borough's last best offer, and the borough management has rejected the union's last best offer, we agreed in the settlement that the union could come before the assembly with that last best offer to present it to you. Okay, now, why is this so unique? It's because under Alaska labor law and federal labor law, you are not the negotiators of your union contracts. Just like the legislature doesn't negotiate state union contracts, neither does the assembly. Like the legislature, the assembly either ratifies an agreement that the union and the borough management have come to together and says, here's the proposal that we have for the assembly. The assembly can then, like the legislature, choose to ratify that agreement. You can choose to reject the agreement. That's the normal course of the process. What this settlement agreement did was put you into this one, let's call it opportunity, that the borough agreed to give to the union, that if the each side had rejected its last offer, the union could come before you with their last best offer and present it to you, at which time you can do the same thing. You could vote to accept it, you could vote to reject it, or in this instance, since you are not part of the negotiating and you have no idea what's going to get presented to you, you can think about it. You can have another meeting, discuss it. You're not required, according to the union, you're not required to make that decision tonight as well. The other, so what you're going to hear, at least my understanding, what we've agreed to on the settlement agreement, is at about 10:52 a.m. today, we got the union's last offer, which the borough management has rejected. And as somebody has already mentioned, we've been negotiating constantly. I can't remember how many couple of offers were exchanged just in the last couple of days, but there's been months of exchange of offers and meetings here and that sort of thing. So we're expecting, according to the settlement agreement, that you're going to get presented with the particulars of the union's offer that we received at 10:52 a.m. today. At least that's what the settlement agreement was. The other aspect of this is the borough agreed in the settlement that myself, Lee Burgess, Jeff J. Bush, and Kim would not comment on the proposal. Getting back to the normal course, a proposal would come to you because there was an agreement between the borough management and the union. And then it would be presented to you as something agreed upon. That's not happened here. So we agreed in the settlement agreement we wouldn't comment on the proposal. The other aspect of that, though, is the union agreed, and the settlement was, that if you had factual questions for Lee or Jeff or Kim or me, factual questions, they can answer factual questions. Okay. Now, there is an executive session scheduled afterwards in which you can talk to me about any legal issues, just me. But that's a separate aspect. So,
can I ask Bob?
Yes.
Just while you're at that component, it might be easier to just... So I just want to clearly understand, we, in the terms of this agreement then, we cannot ask for, let's say, Lee's opinion in terms of the budgetary constraints, or like, are we allowed to look... I don't want to be too handcuffed here.
Well, we maybe find out, depending on what the union proposes, but... The agreement was you can ask factual questions. So it may be that you'll have to ask a question, and myself and Ms. Green, as the attorney for the union, will have to decide whether that's a factual question or not. It might be. It's hard for me to ask the question.
Do you have to pose it like Jeopardy? What is our budget constraints?
This has never happened before. Again, as far as we know, it's never happened before. And so, you know, it's... This is what the union asked for in the settlement agreement, and we afforded them this opportunity. I'm hoping that if you have questions, they'll be allowed to be answered. Okay, but we did agree that we would not be commenting on the union proposal. So
if we have a question, we have to ask the two attorneys. Is that correct?
Well, we're just creating this procedure as it is. Okay. I would suggest you ask me, you know, and if I think it's a factual question, I'm going to tell you I think it's a factual question. And Ms. Green wants to get up and wave her arms and say, no, it's not. If you can't answer it, then I guess we'll deal with that as well.
Well, it'd be very hard for me to say yes or no in the discussion on this proposal if I feel that I have a whole ton of questions unanswered for the city. I don't know how we can proceed.
You know, there's nothing that's going to prevent the union from saying, yes, go ahead and ask your question. I intend to, from the borough side, honor the agreement. You know, and that was, you can ask factual questions.
Well, my question is, logistically, when we're in executive session,
yeah,
are both attorneys in executive session?
No,
we're going to make a list of questions and say, can we answer these?
Or executive session is to talk to me about any legal issues.
Okay.
Because even, you know, if you were to take action tonight, you have to do it in open session anyway. And these kind of questions,
yes, but
if you're asking questions about the union proposal, then those should definitely be out in open session. The questions to me in executive session, if there were any, would only be about, you know, legal issues, legal ramifications, those sorts of things, not related to the
proposal type issues.
Okay, just a couple other things to maybe I did cover. The only other thing I wanted to, I think this came out, and probably you all remember it, but just as a starting point of clarification, that 15% is in your personnel policy. Okay, that was established by resolution, the 15% that was mentioned earlier. Okay, and the other just clarification is I think it was the last gentleman who talked about the insurance payments for a family. I think there's a question about what's the difference between you and the family. Okay, any insurance payments made by union employees right now is under the contract that expired, that was agreed to as to employees, I think, hired after 2011. So it only applies to new employees. And those payments are made in accordance with the, what was agreed to by the union in the collective bargaining agreement, you know, that's expired. But we have to continue to honor that as we go through this process. So anyway, I didn't want to take up much of the time. I just wanted to at least give you a perspective of why you're here in a very unique situation and kind of set out procedures. And I understand you want to ask questions. I would just throw out for consideration that this is, you know, this isn't, you know, a debate. It's not a question and answer period. It's not a give and take. What we agreed to was to allow the union to make a presentation to you of their last best offer. I don't know if there's anything else that I can help with at this point.
Can you lay out the procedure for me? So the union will present their last best offer.
Right.
And then when do we consider it?
If they say they're done, then they say that's the end of their presentation, you can start considering.
And we move into executive session?
No. Not if you're considering the offer. If you have questions of me, legal questions, then we go into executive session. And you're allowed to do that. That's why it's set.
I'm still a little bit confused. So I can't consult with management regarding the last best offer.
Not in this session. You can ask factual questions of management.
Okay, I'm going to ask the first factual question. I would like a copy of the ordinance of the 15% because it was before my time, and I'd like that in front of me.
The resolution?
The resolution. Can we
sure.
do that?
That's a great point, Patty. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as the procedure, if you don't have anything more for me, then I'm going to say, Ms. Green, start your presentation and show the assembly your last best offer and make the presentation. And then I think if there's factual questions that can come up,
I'll just mention people can't comment. It might be worthwhile mentioning people can't comment during the proceeding.
Yeah, I did.
Well, did you?
I told you not.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I might. While the borough clerk's out, I'm going to make clarify one thing. During the presentation, there will be no comments from the audience. I know this is a very heated subject at this time among many of the people, and I will not allow comments from the audience.
Mayor, do you want to call Ms. Green up?
Well, I want to start or wait for it.
Wait
oh,
till
you're
going to
wait for
the attorney gets back with that item.
Oh, okay.
I have binders for all of you if I can press those out.
If you present them to the borough clerk. Or...
And then I have ones for Julie, David, and Mark as well. I'll just leave them with her so we can consult them later.
Do we have a copy? Do you have a copy for us?
I do not, but I'm assuming they'll probably share it with you guys.
Can you go ahead and make one copy for me? Sure.
I'd just like to comment on that. If you have any materials that you want for the assembly to see, you should present them to the borough clerk to be passed out ahead of time so we can go through them before we come to this meeting.
Well, I'm going to be walking you through them, so we'll be doing that together tonight.